The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to start diving into the combine a little bit because it's now just a week away in Indianapolis with the Cardinals having the number one overall pick. Absolutely. It's time to start paying attention. Charles Davis, who's great. Love Charles Davis. Eric found Charles Davis when it's kind of like Brock. This show has gone through the years. There's guys that Eric will pick off very early in their careers that he sees talent in, that I see, and like, I think he's pretty good. And then they just zoom up the charts, and Charles Davis is one of those guys. He will be all over the NFL Network at the Combine next week in Indianapolis, the greatest underwear show on fake grass, as I like to call it. That will be next week. Charles Davis will be with us, though, today in about 12 minutes. I'm going to put him on the spot a little bit because I don't know if he's seen Emmanuel Butler at Northern Arizona, but I think Emmanuel Butler is one of those really good stories at the Combine. That's right. A player from NAU has been invited to the Combine next week. I didn't see anybody from U of A invited to the Combine, but a guy from NAU got invited to the Combine. I could be wrong on that unless there's been a last-second addition, injuries, whatever. And N'Keal Harry, of course, is going to be there for Arizona State. So we'll talk about what the Cardinals should do with the number one overall pick from Charles's view. I guess as I'm sitting here today, I want them to trade out of one, but there's different directions that they could go. You could trade way back with a team that has multiple picks like the Raiders, for example. You could trade down one or two picks to a team and still get perhaps a defensive lineman or a pass rusher to put opposite, an edge rusher, I should say, opposite of Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones was terrific last season, even without a whole lot of help around him. But you can't miss on the number one overall pick. And there's a lot of buzz going on about what the Cardinals should or should not do. We will have that coming up on the show. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that means it's with life insurance. I had a guy send me a Facebook inbox the other morning. He said, I hear you talking now about life insurance, that you're in that space. Yeah, I got my license. When someone comes to me and I believe in the product that they have, if it's a vehicle, I'm going to drive the vehicle. If they have a product that I look at and say, this is pretty cool, I want to learn more about it. And that's exactly what I did with life insurance. Guys, it doesn't matter if you have $5 or $10 to get started doing something, anything, okay? You don't have to have a whole lot of money to get going. Wherever you are in life, if you're just now into your 20s, you can get going with life insurance. It's a smart way to go to build up cash value. It's a smart way to protect what matters most. And maybe right now your girlfriend, you may be newly married or thinking about getting married. I don't know where you are. You may be 40 years into marriage. But if you don't have your financial picture cleared up, and the people at Sagicor can do that, I would suggest you log on and look for yourself. You can actually get free quotes there online on their website at sagicornow.com. That's Sagicor, protect what matters most with Sagicor. We watched some legalized tampering going on over the weekend. Legalized tampering by the NBA standards is, hey, LeBron, we're going to let you draft players that are on other teams' rosters. Oh, that's not tampering at all, is it? Of course it is. I mean, come on. Adam Silver does a great job as commissioner. But when they talk about we don't want teams, we don't want teams talking to other players. I don't know. If you're wearing a Laker jersey and you're number 23 and you say, you know what, let's just go down the list of who LeBron drafted. LeBron drafted Kevin Durant. LeBron drafted Kawhi Leonard. LeBron drafted James Harden. He drafted Kyrie Irving. He drafted Anthony Davis, LaMarcus Aldridge. I could go, Carl Anthony Towns. I could Damian Lillard. Keep going, Ben Simmons. That's tampering. All the way across the board, it's tampering. Giannis was involved in tampering. Team Giannis, Team LeBron, Team Giannis, the All-Star game. I didn't watch a minute of it. I was into Cain Velasquez last night. Totally into Cain Velasquez. Met Cain Velasquez at an ASU Hall of Fame event. Cain Velasquez was put into the ASU Sports Hall of Fame last fall. And there might have been five people that came up to him initially. And I don't think they really understood the magnitude of the athlete that was in the room. And then as the event started to unfold and they honored him up on stage, and afterwards, he was trapped. Everybody wanted a piece of him. And what was funny is Derek Rogers, the former Sun Devil linebacker, was there. He went to the Hall of Fame, too. He couldn't get enough pictures taken with him. He's like a little kid. Like, oh, my gosh, I'm with Cain Velasquez. So I talked to Cain for a little bit. I'm interested in what these people are all about. And so since that event, I've been more following him in his comeback and his journey. Thought about putting him on the show, didn't do it, wanted to see how he performed last night. It was over in 30 seconds, his knee buckled, and he was done. He was finished. But the arena had more fans last night than they probably had for the last five Suns home games combined. They had more dudes walking out of the tunnel last night that could flat out ball in their sport than they've had walk out of the tunnel with the team that they presently have put together. It was huge last night. It was dudes. It was ESPN prime time. Eric, did you watch? You probably didn't watch, did you? Not even for a second.
Believe it or not, I did watch.
What?
I know. I did. I was watching the Alliance game over on NFL Network, and it ended, and I was going to flip over and see what was happening in the NBA All-Star game. Not to see the game, just to see the highlights.
Didn't catch 1 second of it.
I neither. And then they had, and it was right, I like timed it perfect. Because I saw when the undercard started like 5.5 hours before that.
Absolutely.
And then I watched it. I'm kind of getting into it a little bit. Just, I don't know anything about UFC.
There were dudes everywhere. Those crowd shots.
Yeah, it looked, I mean, like you said, it was a full house, and it was cool that it was in Phoenix, and I thought it was kind of odd that it was on a Sunday night instead of a Saturday night, but, I don't know, they got the spotlight, so it's kind of neat.
Programming opposite the NBA All-Star Game. We're going to put on something that people that
Good
aren't
point.
Into basketball are going to flip over. We're going to have women on there beating each other and fighting each other.
So ESPN is going to be showing more UFC stuff, right?
Yes, they took the contract away from Fox.
Gotcha. So that could be really good for ESPN. It's very popular.
It's a different angle. I mean, so like this ESPN app that they have now, the ESPN Plus, it's killing it because they're putting these matches on the Plus so that people have to go watch that. It's niche. It's not going to be watch the Dodgers and Reds and we're going to kill it. That's not
right.
Where this is.
But they put documentaries on there too, I think.
Yeah, they put
the
their 30 for 30s.
Documentary stuff is on there that you can only see on ESPN Plus, which I thought was kind of neat. So.
Yeah. No, it's. I mean, we're a tiny little pebble, but it's like you doing Juke and it's over here. It's just we're something different in Arizona. And so on a much grander scale, I see what they're doing nationally. I felt like, and I did watch the shots. I'll get into the shots a little bit later because, it just was a different experience watching week two versus week one. So I'll get into that later on in the show. I found myself for much of this weekend watching golf. Much of this weekend, I was fascinated with what happened at Riviera. If you're like me, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're one that I can't stand watching golf, it's the most boring thing. No, the strategy that was going into, especially yesterday, these were pros that had no shot against the elements. It was rainy. It was cold. It was windy. It was miserable all weekend. They're dodging rain and wind. They're having to slam two rounds in, Tiger was saying on the air, I got to get up at 2:30 for my first round yesterday morning. Like, and you're thinking, well, it's just a golfer. I don't know. You try walking around for four and a half hours with a chance to win $7 million as a purse. And I think I'm being kind on that number. And you've got to play not just 18, but you got to play 36 on the same day. And it's cold and it's lousy and it's miserable. Like, there was so much bad golf and slogging around on the course yesterday afternoon for stretches. The commentators are getting agitated. Jim Nantz even made mention without saying it directly about Bubba Watson and slow play. Nick Faldo did the same thing. You could tell they were just like, oh my gosh, is this thing ever going to end? So it was very entertaining. But there's a story involved in golf, too, that I want to get to. For the common man, I'll do that a little bit later on in the show today. Today's opening first full squad workout for the Diamondbacks. Zach Greinke actually did manage to make it in. He said his neck was a little stiff from the plane ride, and that's about it. He said he's in better shape. Zach, please go out and show what you're all about here in spring training so they can trade you and they can get a boatload in return. Please do not break down. We don't need you to be broken down here in spring training. Charles Davis is next. Our first look at the NFL Scouting Combine, which is next week. Greatest show on fake grass in underwear. That is next week with the Combine. Charles Davis from the NFL Network is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. A week from now, all eyes will be on Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine. Of course, the Arizona Cardinals have the number one overall pick. A lot of intrigue more than ever around the Cardinals here in this offseason. A new coach in Cliff Kingsbury. They already have a quarterback in Josh Rosen. A ton of questions. And one of the front-facing talents, one of the people that you will see a lot of at the Combine is Charles Davis. You'll either see him or you're going to hear him analyzing the greatest show of underwear on fake grass. Is that a good way to put it, Charles, the Combine?
I think you put it very, very well. That's pretty good. The greatest show of underwear on fake grass. I like that.
Yeah,
you can bring to it.
You can. I'll take the royalties later. All right, let's. I appreciate you joining us. Of course, Charles has been with us before. NFL on Fox. He is all over the place and with the NFL Network too. Great stuff. Let's start first with the number one overall pick in the draft that the Cardinals currently own. Your view coming into this combine, the best direction for the Cardinals to go with the number one pick?
Well, you start off with your phone totally open for business. Ring me and let me know if there's something that you're really interested in. You know, if there's a player you have to come up and get, you're sitting in that spot, and can you parlay that into a multi-pick deal, right? Multi-player deal? Can you do that? That's the first thing, because remember, they spent a first-round pick on a quarterback last year, and it's a brand-new system. This coach was brought in because of that quarterback. You know, you've got to get him going because you spent the investment on him and all those things that surround him with talent. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, if that's not going to happen and you are stuck with that first pick, there's so much speculation. Do they like this quarterback? You know, Cliff Kingsbury said last year that Kyler Murray should have been the first pick in the draft.
Yep.
Well, he said it when they were getting ready to play Oklahoma. And he was head coach of Texas Tech. Okay? I'm not saying he flat out doesn't believe it. But remember when he said it, and let's put it into some context here. Okay, they're getting ready to play the team that ended up giving them the Heisman Trophy winner and played in the playoff four. Every coach in America, for the most part, pumps up that team that they're going to play. And you add to it, because guess what? Texas Tech's about to get kicked. So you're going to make sure everybody knows you're getting kicked by the best. Now, when you hear Cliff Kingsbury talk, do you hear him mention Kyler Murray other than, yeah, I think he's a great player? Or do you hear him mention, boy, I really, really love Josh Rosen, and he's our guy? That's how people have to remember these things, okay? So unless they're throwing a whole lot of smoke at us, which is that time of year, could easily happen, let's say that they're going to say Josh Rosen is our guy going forward. What other needs do we have? Well, defensively, they've been a good defensive team for a long time. Last year, of course, you know, they weren't good at much of anything. Can you get another pass rusher? It's Nick Bosa,
yeah,
the number one pick in the draft. Healthy, is he the guy that you want? And truthfully, I think that he is going to be helped by when his brother Joey came out, because they're such similar players, similar builds. When Joey came out, there's a lot of speculation that, yes, he's great, but is he agile enough? Is he twitchy enough? Is he going to be that guy that's going to get you double-digit sacks every year, or is he going to be more workmanlike? There's a big conversation about that. Well, Joey has shown us, you take that one, throw it out the window. He's everything that we just talked about, workmanlike, but he's agile enough, he's twitchy enough, he's got great, great hands, he knows how to get home, and when he's healthy, he's going to give you double-digit sacks. So I don't think people are going to pin the same thing to Nick. In fact, he's probably going to get a boost because of the bloodline, and that's why a lot of people think he might be the number one guy taken, because you start with the best player and then you work from there.
You also can make the argument, too, that you get somebody opposite Chandler Jones, and suddenly this defense becomes very, very good. Chandler Jones was a wrecking ball last year. But do you take that pick, and well, let's do general manager conversation for a minute, Charles. Do you take that number one pick, and maybe you'd go down to two and say, I'm going to take Josh Allen out of Kentucky. I'm still going to get that guy, and I'm going to pick up multiple picks, multiple assets, because we do have a quarterback. You don't have to trade way down. You could trade down a spot or two, couldn't you, in this year's draft with the quarterbacks?
You could. It's just a matter of who's going to come up and be in that spot and make you the offer. Because, you know, when you look at where we are, right, obviously the Cardinals hold the number one pick in the draft. then you've got to go down beyond that and say, okay, where do we go from there? 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, the first quarterback, truly quarterback needy team you get to is really 6 with the Giants. Are the Giants going to come all the way up to 1? General manager Dave Gettleman and his past history doesn't suggest that they're that type of a team.
Right.
They're almost the type of team that will sit there and say, okay, we'll see what's left at 6. You know, that sort of deal, even though it seems like Dwayne Haskins, New York Giants, seems like a perfect match because he wouldn't have to play right away. You know, they'd be able to play Eli another year, give Haskins a year to sit and watch, which I'm not a huge advocate of when I'm watching these kids come out nowadays. But in this case, you can get me on it. You know why? Because this kid's a redshirt sophomore coming out. You know, he's a youngster. So why put all that pressure on him, especially in New York, if you can go ahead and make a move? Because, you know, look at it. 2 is San Francisco. Well, they're getting Garoppolo back. 3 is the Jets. Well, you know they drafted Darnold last year. 4 is the Raiders, and that's where your wild card kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's one place that the head coach is just quarterback, you know, how would you say it? Quarterback love, it just emanates from him. It's John Gruden. And John has the last – remember, John makes the final decision on draft picks now. So if there's going to be a fight inside of Oakland and John says, guess what, I'm taking a QB, does he have to come up to 1 to get who he wants? Or can he sit there at 4 and potentially take – and right now, of course, our speculation would be Kyler Murray would be the type of guy that would really get John's attention. So that's where it gets fun for this draft. But you're exactly right. If you could drop down – you know, 1 or 2 spots.
Right, right.
You still get a similar type player. That's the bonanza. And I keep going back to John Robinson, the general manager of the Titans a few years ago. Remember when he said, hold the number 1 pick, we're looking for a king's ransom for it? Well, they did okay, didn't they? Because I think they ended up coming up, I think the Rams came all the way up from 15-1. They ended up taking Jack Conklin. I mean, when they ended up dropping down, they ended up taking Jack Conklin, who was an all-pro his first year at offensive tackle. And they got a few other picks and players, too, and they've started their revival. They've been in the playoffs once. They were close to it last year. They feel good about what they did because, remember, they already had Marcus Mariota at the time.
Talking about the NFL draft, next week it is the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Charles Davis will be on the spot with the NFL Network. He's also with NFL on Fox. Always good to catch up with Charles on many, many fronts. As you come into this Combine next week, do you already have players or positions that you look at and say, this is deeper than usual? These are some players I'm really quite curious to see what they're all about.
Yeah, I think we all have that all across. And in a nutshell, for me, these big people, you know, it's a big people's draft. Offensive, defensive linemen, I think we're very deep there. I think that the linebacker position has gotten to be, you know, how we used to talk about running backs being devalued.
Mm-hmm.
The linebacker position, devalued is the wrong word. But if you don't have a ton of versatility at that position now, it's going to hurt you. You know, those days of being a first and second down thumper and being that guy that just ran over people and scared the heck out of people playing middle linebacker, if you can't stay on the field on third down, your value goes down now because of the way people play. Because you know as well as I do, we're playing more nickel and dime packages than we're playing base.
Right.
So a guy like Devin White, the linebacker at LSU, I can't wait to see him move and run and do all the things that I've seen him do on tape. But now to see it live and see if that's going to help him out because he's the type of guy that should be a first-round pick, but will he drop because of the way the game's played nowadays where maybe an extra defensive back becomes more valuable than him or a linebacker that's a former safety that's playing at 225 pounds, right? Because we're seeing so much of that. Think about the guys who are playing middle linebacker in today's NFL football. A Deion Jones with the Atlanta Falcons, a Quan Alexander with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We never would have seen that size playing middle linebacker 10 years ago. Nowadays, those guys are starters, they're productive, but the game's not played the same way it used to be, where it's just line them up, play between the hash marks, and beat up on each other. So that's what we're looking at there. And then last but not least, there's going to be a ton of defensive backs in the draft. Excuse me about that. Sorry about the background noise there. My dog's getting a little excited. But there's going to be a ton of defensive backs that are available, and I can't wait to watch them all go at each other because they are like sprinters in track. They will talk more trash to each other, talk more stuff, and more competition. And that's going to be a lot of fun because you can make a case there are a bunch of guys near the top of that board, especially at the corner position, that you're going to have to really make a judgment on. You know, a Greedy Williams from LSU, you know, the kid from Bama, the kid from Mississippi State. It can go right on down the line, but I think that we can go all through all seven rounds and find real value at the cornerback position.
Charles Davis with us, NFL Network. He'll be at the Combine next week, the NFL on Fox. He'll be in Indianapolis breaking it down. Before I get you out of here, I don't know if you've had a chance to see two wide receivers from Arizona. At Arizona State, there's N'Keal Harry. At Northern Arizona, great story, Emmanuel Butler. Both have been invited to the Combine. Charles, I'm telling you, both guys, big-time high school kids here in Arizona, went to college in Arizona. I think they're both going to find slots. Do you have a breakdown on them yet? And if not, keep an eye on them.
Yeah, I'm going to be keeping an eye. I've got to do more work on the Northern Arizona kid. But I've seen N'Keal Harry play. And I loved your intro on it. You sounded very much like Rod Tidwell there. You know? I went to school in Arizona. I'm a Sun Devil, man. You know, and now you want to make Arizona dollars. That's right. So how great would that be if both of them could actually do that? But Harry is the type of kid that you're looking at nowadays in the NFL with receivers. In my lifetime, I remember receivers being big. And then we got to the five-yard bump rule, the Mel Blount rule, right, where you weren't just getting beat up on the line of scrimmage like Mel Blount did with the Steelers, and it changed the game. And a smaller receiver came back into vogue. But lately, what have we been seeing again? Monster-sized receivers, big, tall people, but they can run now. It wasn't just they were red zone threats and they would use their body to keep people away. Now that not only can they go over you, they can go past you. And that's what I see with N'Keal Harry. And that's why he's so attractive to people, because he is that frame now, which is the classic wide receiver frame, classic wide receiver body. And now how do you go and defend him? You know, which means the defensive backs now are starting to get longer again. Because for a while, we were able to bring in Smurfs and play at the corner.
Yep.
And as great as Darryl Green was, and, you know, he could play at any era, you know that, we would look at Darryl Green now and know that he's really fast, but can he cover these tall guys now, right? That's what we'd be saying in evaluation. Of course, Darryl Green would show us, I can cover anyone. We know that. But I'm just talking about in the evaluation process, we're looking for those lengthy corners now. Because of the way receivers are playing, because of the N'Keal Harrys, that's what we're getting nowadays.
Appreciate the time and insight. As always, Charles, enjoy the combine. Thanks.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it a bunch. Great chatting with you again.
Charles Davis there with us at the NFL Network and NFL on Fox. Of course, all the combine action next week in Indianapolis. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Hope you're having a great Monday. We, of course, are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. As we continue to do this, this is we're almost eight years. Having fun doing this. Sports360AZ.com, our daily stream show that you're checking out right now. We are live here Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. We have our television show on Tuesdays that we produce for Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, Pro College High School, Arizona-centric. And we're self-funded. That means these sponsors that you see in the breaks believe enough in us and say, we want to support what you do. We appreciate that. Josh Rosen was in a car accident over the weekend, and you're thinking, well, Brad, why would you not lead with that? Well, it wasn't a severe car accident, but it is headline-grabbing stuff. This is from his Instagram. His Tesla has big dents. The easy narrative here is Josh Rosen continues to get hit even during the offseason. I think that's the easy way. You don't want to joke about this stuff too much. I do like that. Josh Rosen having some fun about, come on, man, really? This is what it's like being in a car accident every Sunday when I'm a member of the Arizona Cardinals, and then it happens off the field as well. The hot shots. So I was let down a little bit, and Eric's our hot shots insider because he has season tickets. He believes enough in the hot shots, and I do too. But I'm also a realist about this stuff. The first quarter and a half was not great on Saturday night. I watched the game Saturday night. If you're like, Brad, you watch golf? You watch Hot Shots. You watch Cain Velasquez. Yeah, I did a whole lot of laying around. I did some hiking. I got out. But at night, man, I was just shut down. Did you take in game number two as a season ticket holder?
Of course.
Yeah? Did you go, like, out to a sports bar? Because it was NFL Network.
I watched it with some friends. We're actually at a bowling alley.
You're at a bowling alley watching the Hot Shots.
It wasn't on, but they put the game on.
They put the game on?
It was nice of them.
Did you bowl?
Yeah.
You any good?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
Like everyone else, I'm just an okay bowler.
Did you watch the game from start to finish?
I saw the whole thing.
And what did you think?
Memphis is one of the worst teams in the league.
Yes.
Salt Lake City is one of the worst teams in the league.
Yes.
Those are the first two teams that they beat, and they're playing Salt Lake again.
Yes. They'll be three.
I also watched San Antonio play Orlando, and I think those are the two best teams in the league. So a step back, but it's a road game. It was freezing cold.
Yes.
I'm not going to sit here and be like, I'm not going to point fingers because these guys have only been playing together for like, 2.5 months?
Right.
And I think after the first game, I thought there was going to be a little bit of a letdown, but it's just, it's hard to gauge exactly what is going on with these teams because it's kind of like a week-to-week thing.
You didn't happen to have the audio up on the game, did you?
Uh-uh.
Mike Smith was trying to do the color work, former Atlanta Falcons coach.
Oh, I
that's bet, not it's not good.
Yeah.
He was with Brian Billick, who is good. That's yeah. Hey, Brian would, I don't know who the play-by-play guy was, but Brian would say, "So Mike, so coach, what do you think?" It's called dead air. It's not good. It's like, wow. Okay. So this is trying out announcers at the network.
I just like the fact that there's football on because going through the sports things yesterday, I'm not a huge golf fan. I have no interest in watching the Daytona 500. The UFC fight lasted 26
Man,
seconds.
You're grumpy.
The NBA All-Star weekend is just a complete throwaway.
Did you see a big crash the Daytona 500?
I saw it, and then that's pretty much like all I needed to see.
That's all I saw, too.
So I just don't. It's just not my thing. It's fine. I mean, Devin, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just not into it.
Devin, who's part of our staff, Devin Henry, does a very good job. He wrote all about the sport of speed. I've just turned him loose. Is he doing too much? I think it's good. We gotta find Christian Kirk's driver. The guy that Christian Kirk's
that's
a big fan of.
That's not an easy thing to do, but that'd be nice.
But I just poked my head into Devin and said, what do you think of the race? He's like, oh, it was really too bad. It was marred by crashes. Like,
but
I don't
every
know.
Big race
so people
want
to see.
And every big race is marred by crashes.
People want to see. I just, on the Hot Shots part, yeah, I was a little bit let down for week number two. That's all. The game slogged along the first quarter and a half. There were penalty. And Mike Singletary is not a great coach.
No.
Rick Neuheisel is a very good coach. Rick found a way to inspire his team, keep them alive, keep them focused, and they won a game that, yeah, they should be 3-0 coming back here the first week of March. But it's got its place. Like, there's people that are talking about that. I heard people at church yesterday, a couple people in the coffee shop were talking about the Hot Shots game. Like, really? You people don't watch sports much at all, and you got to work hard to find that.
Well, especially here in Phoenix. I mean, what do we have to grasp onto? I mean, ASU basketball is up and down. The Cardinals are coming. I mean, the Hot Shots almost have as many wins as the Cardinals did last year. The Cardinals only won 3 all season. The Suns are the worst team in the NBA. I think there's tempered expectations around the Diamondbacks, even though when they're not expected to do well, they usually do well.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
maybe this could be a bounce back season. The Coyotes are intriguing, but, you know, on the border of maybe making the playoffs. They're just like, we need something to grasp onto as an Arizona sports fan.
Well, I have something to grasp onto, and that's Anthony Davis. I will explain next. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. So over the weekend, it was all-star break for the NBA, and I really don't care because the Suns are the team here in Phoenix, and they just continue to be god-awful. And it feels like there's more and more of a buildup of, well, wait till next year and we're going to get another high pick and all this patience is going to pay off. And I would say, what about the people that put down 9 years worth of hard-earned cash to go watch this product every week? I bring this up because Anthony Davis on Saturday morning decided to clear the air on his situation in New Orleans with the Pelicans. Anthony Davis is one of the five best NBA players, in my opinion, in the NBA. He's one of five difference makers. The Phoenix Suns currently have zero of the top five, zero of the top 10 difference makers on their roster. You can point out that Devin Booker scored 70, and a lot of that was a coach wanting to roll up the numbers, and the coach is no longer here. And Devin Booker is a very good player on an awful team, and somebody's got to shoot and somebody's got to score. Anthony Davis went on NBA TV and said, I am open to any team other than the Pelicans, any team. Okay, so when you hear this, you may be the ones that say, Brad, the owner is not going to figure it out. Why would Anthony Davis come here? And I would say that James Jones is really the guy that's next in line. It feels like every GM that comes along with Robert, eventually he shoots their backside off and they move on and go to the next place. But James Jones, there's a bit of a different feel about him to me. And so when Anthony Davis says, I will go to any team other than the Pelicans, first and foremost, it's he has 1 year left on his deal. And you may say, well, yeah, he'd come here and he'd leave. And they said the same thing about Paul George with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And they figured it out and they got it done. The culture was sold right. You don't have to go to a big market team. He decided to stay there. Anthony Davis, do the Suns then, question number two, do the Suns have enough to go get Anthony Davis? And the easy answer on this is absolutely they do. Absolutely they do. You could trade Devin Booker, and you could trade Josh Jackson, and you could trade this year's number one. You could. You got to make the numbers work, so Devin Booker would have to be part of a deal because the salary numbers have to come within a certain percentage. Those of you that say, oh my gosh, how could you even suggest such a thing? You don't know what you're talking about. This is great what's going on here in Phoenix, and we just have to be patient. I would say you're wrong. Anthony Davis down in the low block. Now, you may say, and DeAndre Ayton, and you could make that argument. You could make the argument that the Suns could trade DeAndre Ayton, but it doesn't work from a salary standpoint. So you can poke holes in this all you want and come up with nonsense like Russell Westbrook is the guy the Suns should get. That's nonsense. Anthony Davis, you convince him to come here, and suddenly things turn in a direction that we have not seen. It all sounds good to go put out names, but there's actual fact here. He said he'll go to any team. I think James Jones working with Rich Paul, the agent, there's a different dynamic there. The Suns have a big number already sitting on their books that they could trade. Would I trade Devin Booker for Anthony Davis as part of a deal? Absolutely. Where do I sign up to make it happen? Where are you on this one, Eric?
Yeah, I do it. In a heartbeat. I think the Suns have no chance of getting him because they just haven't attracted a big-time
anybody.
Free agent or landed anyone since Jerry Colangelo left.
Jerry would have done this.
Of course. But players wanted to play for Jerry. Phoenix used to be a destination point. AC Green, Danny Manning, you could go down the line. I know that was a long time ago.
Right, right. No, you're right. And when you and I talk about this through the years, we seem to go back to that when Jerry was here. And it's me bringing it up. Jerry would have found a way to get it done. I don't know if Robert's scared of his shadow. I don't know what it is. But this is one of those that to me is an absolute no-brainer. Now, could he walk away after a year? Same thing was said in Oklahoma City. So it's already out there. A guy wasn't going to resign. Guy decides to stay because the culture was right.
But Oklahoma City has a tradition, and they have a tradition of winning games and getting deep in the playoffs. The Suns have no tradition of doing that in the last decade. So if you're Anthony Davis and you're open to going to any one of the teams outside of New Orleans, I mean, like, can you really see him going to play for the Suns or going to play for, I don't know, fill in the blank.
I guess
the
I'm
Cavs.
Bold. I guess I'm bold. I'm not scared. I look at what I have. If I'm in Robert's position, if I'm in Robert's circle right now, today, this morning, it's, hey, what are we doing here? Are you just content putting out this product? We have the assets. I'm so tired of hearing about assets. and building to the future and the timeline and all the nonsense and marketing garbage that comes from down there. Do we have a player that has a contract that could be moved? Yes. Who would you rather have on your team? Yeah, Devin signed for more years. I understand that. But by the time Devin and the Suns get good, his deal's going to be up, and he's going to want out of here.
And Anthony Davis is a megastar. Devin Booker is a star. We've talked about it before. Yeah. I mean, there are different tier players, and Anthony Davis is a top-tier NBA talent. Devin Booker is a step below him.
When people say, well, this is just nonsense. Why would they ever even consider this, Brad? You're just because look, I'm about winning. I'm about winning. I'm about being bold. I am not about sitting around and saying, well, this is how it's always been done, and we're going to win with the group that we have here, because you're nowhere near close to winning. You're nowhere near close to winning. And I think I've seen enough of Anthony Davis. And I think I've seen enough of Devin Booker to know that in a heartbeat, I would make that deal. I don't see any other way the Suns could not make that deal. The Suns have so many pieces now that are, they've gotten years out of TJ Warren. Yeah, he's hurt right now, but he's a good player. Josh Jackson was a top four pick in the NBA. Devin Booker has been signed to a $156 million deal. DeAndre Ayton was a former number one overall pick. So don't give me the garbage and the nonsense that they don't have enough here to go make a deal. And, you know, this, well, if Devin Booker were on a good team, he'd be an all-star. Maybe he's missing about every fourth or fifth game right now this season. He is. And so I think he's sliding into that category of playing on a bad team, and the most is not being gotten out of him. And when he does get on the court, of course he's going to jack up shots. There's nobody else here. They don't have a point guard alongside of him. The point is when you have great players that become available and you don't make a run at them and you don't finish in their final two, did Robert make a run at LeBron James back in the day in his free agency? It depends on who you ask. Did Robert make a run at LaMarcus Aldridge? Yes, he did. Was Robert able to attract either one of those players? No. So until he's able to break through, this whole notion of we're just going to draft players and then we're going to sign them and keep them in Phoenix, it's a joke. Devin's going to leave. He'll say right now no, but like every player, when Team LeBron comes along or Team Giannis comes along and says, we're drafting in the NBA All-Star game, you don't think for a second they're like, hey, you should come play with me? Come on. It's a total recruiting frenzy. That's not going on here in Phoenix. And the only way to change that is through a deal. It's through a trade or free agency, and trade is the better scenario. The risk here, obviously, is that Anthony Davis only has a year left on his deal. That's it. That's the risk. So you have to sell him on, we've got a new arena. We've got DeAndre Ayton you're going to play alongside of. We have Josh Jackson who's going to be here. We're going to go find a point guard. You could attract a point guard for you to play. You're an hour plane flight away on a private to Vegas or Los Angeles to go do the whole TV commercial stuff. It's not that hard. I mean, it is for them. You got to be bold, man. Can't sit here and just go through the same old slop. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. He's the Iron Man day in and day out. Eric Sorensen, as always, produces. We're going to head over now and work on some content over on the website side at sports360az.com. Have yourself a great Monday.